Penguin Random House Audio presents Kingmaker, Pamela Harriman's Astonishing Life of Power, Seduction, and Intrigue, by Sonia Purnell. Read for you by Louise Breeley. Note to listeners, this audiobook contains a downloadable PDF of Pamela Harriman's Life Through Images.
To the Otaries, with love. À demain. We know what we are, but know not what we may be. Ophelia in Act 4, Scene 5, Hamlet, by William Shakespeare. Prologue. At 4 in the afternoon on Monday the 3rd of February 1997, a uniformed chauffeur in an armoured Cadillac drives the Honourable Pamela Harriman from her Paris residence on Rue du Faubourg Saint-Honoré. 15 minutes later, he pulls up outside the Hotel Ritz. As Harriman climbs the red-carpeted steps, past the boutique selling diamonds and into the lobby, she looks her usual stately self. The staff greet her as one of their most distinguished visitors, and the semi-mythical seductress of the century rewards them with her regal smile. The one-time daughter-in-law of Winston Churchill rarely sets foot outside her bedroom without full maquillage. Her leonine hair is artfully swept out and up. Her wardrobe reflects regular appearances on the fashion front row, a rigid diet and exercise regime, and a remarkable facelift means she looks 2 decades younger than her 76 years. The effect is immaculate, but subtle, as befits President Clinton's hand-picked envoy to France. Pamela is almost forgotten now, and if she is remembered at all, it is with disdain or condescension. But on this day, she's arguably the most famous diplomat in the world and the most powerful courtesan in history. Even so, few know how Her Excellency daringly used sex to cement the vital special relationship between Britain and America during the Second World War, or how she helped landmark figures, some of the political or industrial kings of the 20th century, to achieve and wield power, or how she even played a part in ending the Cold War. She commands the respect of politicians, spies, and diplomats who have worked with her across 2 continents and 5 decades, with an unrivalled address book and instant access to the leaders of the United States and France. Once she was barred from mixing with royalty and banned from embassies as that red-headed tart, but now she presides over the grandest embassy of all. Her eminence is remarkable, given that as a British-born aristocrat without a single paper qualification, this is her first formal job. Yet as many loathe her as love her, and she is the subject of multiple blood feuds, 4 excoriating books, and a litany of lawsuits. A chorus of critics dismiss her as a lightweight. But why, if a B-movie actor can become President Reagan, cannot such a woman become Madame l'Ambassadeur? Pamela is nursing a crushing headache as she descends the marbled hotel stairs to the Ritz Health Club and peers through the curtains of the balcony to see who is in the pool below. Often it is cleared for her to swim in private, but she has come without notice today at the urging of her deputy, who is concerned about his boss. He knows she has recently asked a saddened president to be relieved of her duties, bringing her remarkable reign in Paris to an end. Pamela changes into a figure sculpting swimsuit and steps down into the most elegant indoor pool in the city, flanked by Egyptian-style pillars under a trompe-l'œil sky. Younger men still fall for her glamour, including, rumour has it, one of the handsome pool attendants, young enough to be her grandson. They are beguiled by her mesmerising eyes, seductive laugh, and the way she makes each feel he is the most important man in the world. She starts to swim, head proud above the water to protect her coiffure. But after 20 lengths, she groans and goes limp in the water. Someone rushes to pull her out and a member of the hotel security team, Henri Paul, tries to revive her with an oxygen mask. 7 months later, his quick response will earn him the honour of driving Princess Diana and the world's opprobrium when she meets her death in a Paris tunnel. This foggy February day, he is urgent yet professional as a tear rolls down Pamela's face and she slips into unconsciousness. An ambulance roars into the Place Vendôme, with siren blaring and a distressed President Jacques Chirac orders the best doctors in Paris to try to save the woman he owes so much. In Washington, President Bill Clinton gives an emotional statement about his great friend who made his own once improbable ascent possible. These are not the only leaders to have paid court to her. Kennedy was her intimate friend. Nixon, Eisenhower and Ford sought her counsel and her company. Franklin Roosevelt demanded news of her. Nancy Reagan wanted to be her friend. The Gorbachevs were her friends. De Gaulle doted on her. The wartime Australian Prime Minister Robert Menzies protected her, and her one-time father-in-law Churchill depended on her. She was not a woman, as former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright observed, to let her century pass her by. She seized it and left an indelible mark. Hers is a story of virtually everyone who was anyone in the 20th century, from Nelson Mandela to Joe Biden, Truman Capote to Dennis Hopper, Ed Murrow to Gloria Steinem, the Rothschilds to the Mitfords. She counted as friends Martha Gellhorn, Max Beaverbrook, Frank Sinatra, Christian Dior, and the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. Hers was a life born of a pandemic, forged by world war and defined by haute couture, palaces and jewels, but also by love, jealousy, fortitude, heartache, illness, daredevilry and betrayal. She received dozens of proposals of marriage and took hundreds of lovers, enjoyed countless thrills on super yachts and private jets. She hungered for the trappings of wealth, but what excited her most was power. She learned to muster her privilege and fame to try to win it on behalf of those who did not have what she had. And most of all, to bring peace. Narrowly missing death, time and again in the Blitz, she lost precious friends to the war, and while living at Downing Street, bore intimate witness to Churchill's desperate struggle to save Britain from Hitler. Such visceral experiences left her with a compulsion to try to stop future conflict, yet her efforts were often belittled and misread. Few understand just how she became one of the century's most influential political players. Most of what she did was kept secret by Pamela herself or ignored by others. Her papers were locked away, others classified. Her surviving friends were reluctant to speak. Only through 4 years of intense research in Britain, America, and France was I able to unearth astonishing new testimony that allows us finally, 3 decades after her death, to appreciate the achievements of a woman whose name was trashed by the presumptions of her time. Just as I discovered when writing about her mother-in-law, Clementine Churchill, another formidable yet woefully underrated woman, history has reduced Pamela to a distorted stereotype. In her case, a conniving and ridiculous gold digger obsessed by sex. And yet, struck by how both Winston and Clementine Churchill prized her very special contribution throughout the Second World War and the global significance of the demands they made of her, I was driven to find out the truth. Perhaps only against the background of today's perilous tensions between West and East and the bloody invasion of Ukraine can we begin to register the sacrifices of a 20-year-old woman hell-bent on waging war against tyranny. Perhaps only as more evidence comes to light can we take in the full scope of the role she played at the pinnacle of power in 3 countries half a century apart. A reach and longevity unmatched by virtually anyone in modern times. or recognise how the grit of one woman of astonishing skill but little education could help lay the ground.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?